Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hoppadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Smitty in for Lopez. There's a lot of keys to the game when the Texans take the field on Sunday, 3:25 at NRG. But Seth Payne, I got to tell you, all the tape study, all the type of stuff that he did, he hit the hammer right on the nail when he brought this up. I think this is the key not only to Sunday's game, but this is going to be the key to the Texans' success moving forward.
There's something where sometimes you can get to a certain point, but then ultimately it holds you back. And I can't stop thinking about the phenomenon of, let's call it Whiskey Johnson, where when you got the Whiskey Johnson, and it's like, it does certain things for you. It helps you last longer and what have you. And maybe it makes you better in one respect, but ultimately, you're never going to be the world's best lover if you're relying on the Whiskey Johnson to always bail you out. And I feel like O'Brien does certain things that gets his team to a certain level, but then after that, it's just you got the this offense has Whiskey Johnson. It's one or two extra shots beyond the point of ideal returns.
I have no idea if the Texans are ready for this game on Sunday. I have no idea if the coaches, the players, the staff. I have no idea if they're ready. Whiskey Johnson.
Yeah, the Whiskey Johnson.
The Whiskey Johnson. All
Sometimes right. The Whiskey Johnson gives great gifts, and other times it just embarrasses the hell out of you.
Fair enough.
That analogy brought to you by years and years of lulling women into thinking I had more endurance than I did based on the fact that I was drunk the first time we heard.
Listen, the first time that I heard that audio, I think I was so excited about hearing Seth Payne say Whiskey Johnson, and I was laughing about it in my head that I really didn't listen to like the first 15-20 words that he said leading up to it. It makes perfect sense now. 10-6, 9-7, 10-6, 11-5, first round loss in the playoffs, second round loss in the playoffs, but not getting over the hump. It's the Whiskey Johnson, because Whiskey Johnson, if you drink enough whiskey, you'll be good enough to where people say, hey, man, your lady will be like, dang, okay, he knows what he's doing, but are you going to really get over the top? Are you going to be that type of lover to where she's going to just do whatever you want her to do when you want her to do it because you lay it down each and every time, right? That's the Texans. The Texans can't get over that hump and put you in that position where you say, dang, okay, they can't make you into what Bill Belichick has made the Patriot fans into, because whatever Bill Belichick does, even when he makes mistakes, it don't matter. He got the he got the real deal. He ain't got the Whiskey Johnson. He's gotten over the hump so many times that they're just going to listen to him and say, hey, I trust in Bill Belichick. Right now, the Texans, they got that Whiskey Johnson. It makes perfect sense now.
I've said this many times before the season. Like, leading up to the season, I said, the Texans starting out the season 0-2 is not going to be something where I say the sky is falling. Because
that's the right way to look at it.
If you spread it out and you say they play the Chiefs week 1 and then they play Baltimore week 10, I don't think we're going to overreact to them losing to both of those teams. Mm-hmm. But the thing that has gotten me so skeptical and reluctant to look past the way in which this season could potentially start isn't that you start out 0-2. It's the way in which you're losing games. And if they're not going to be able to stop the run, which I was very concerned about the defense, but if they're not going to be able to stop the run and this offense is just going to be middle of the road, given all the investments you have in it, then I just don't see how other teams that aren't the best in the league are not going to be able to take advantage of the Texans. And the Texans go from being one of these teams that's chasing the upper tier to one of the teams that's just mediocre as a whole. It's not who you lose to, it's how you lose it. And there was just some alarming signs against Kansas City that just had me very skeptical and concerned that this team has not only not taken the step up into the heavyweight class of Baltimore and Kansas City, but they might have actually taken a step back.
Well, you had to expect that. We talked about the fact if you get rid of a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, you're not going to be better at that position, especially not initially. Like, maybe down the road it works out. I have my doubts, but it may be down the road. But to expect it to be off the rip, that's just not logical. It doesn't make sense. And so that's what you're seeing. And your sentiment makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense that, all right, the way that you play and how you look can determine how much confidence you have in how you're going to improve. As the season goes on, losing to the Baltimore Ravens and losing to the Kansas City Chiefs, there's no shame in that. But if you look like you don't belong in their class, that's a problem. You cannot go out there looking that way. And we talked about it a few weeks ago. I was talking about the fact that the last time I was on with you, we talked about the fact that the Texans defense, the way it's set up, scared me. I had concerns because they got rid of guys that were good at stopping the run. And they put themselves in a position which you thought philosophically was, we're going to get better so that we can beat the Kansas City Chiefs, right? You see what happened when they played the Kansas City Chiefs. We get better. We're more athletic. We got guys that can go run all over the place so we can get Pat Mahomes, get him down, and finish on plays that we did in the playoffs. But it was going to open you up to having to stop the run against guys in your division, like the Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans, that you was going to potentially struggle with. Well, you saw how they looked in the run game against the Chiefs, but then you look at their entire schedule, there's a bunch of teams that run the ball religiously, and they will get after your ass play after play.
I was scared watching Cleveland yesterday. I was scared watching Cleveland
Minnesota,
yesterday.
Like, it's going to be a tough – it's going to be – and I tweeted this during the game. If you can't figure out a way to stop the run, you're going to have a long-ass season. Now, do I figure they're going to figure out a way to stop the run? They're going to get better. They can't be that bad because then you just – all bets are off. You're not going to beat teams in the NFL if you can't stop the run. That is point-blank period. Even though it's a passing league and all that type of stuff, and I'm not talking about you giving up a bunch of yards stat-wise like late in ball games or whatever. I'm talking about in critical situations you can't get a stop. If it's 3rd and 4 and they run the ball on you or they're getting 6 and 7 yards on first down running the ball, you're not going to beat anybody because they're going to continue to move the chains. They're going to wear you down. If you can't stop the run, you can't rush the passer. I mean, the only team that I've ever seen that could do that at a high level was like back in the day, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Indianapolis Colts. They ran a cover 2 defense. They said, we're just going to sack you. We're going to get sacks, and we're going to tackle you on the way to the quarterback. But the teams can't do that. They can't rely on that and expect to be successful. So they got to figure out a way to stop the run. I completely agree with that.
What about running the ball? I mean, that seems to be the way to beat the Baltimore Ravens. David Johnson, of all the bright spots that we did see in week 1, and there were a couple, I would say David Johnson was one of those bright spots, 11 carries, 77 yards. You've invested all this in the offensive line. You got to think running the ball is probably in the best interest for the Texans if they want to handle the Ravens. The problem is Baltimore, who at times, well, I say times, twice last year when they lost 3 games, they struggled to stop the run. But you draft Patrick Queen out of LSU, one of the best rookie linebackers, and you trade a 5th-round pick for Calais Campbell, former Jacksonville Jaguar defensive tackle who we know very well here. And it almost seems like, yes, that was the recipe, and that is the recipe, and it's the ideal recipe to keep the offense off the field, but it almost seems like they've addressed that problem that they had last year, and it might be more difficult to do what Tennessee and what Cleveland did last year to the Ravens.
Yeah, that's exactly what they did. They tried to get better at stopping the run, and that's because they knew that that's what cost them against the Tennessee Titans last year. But still, the Texans have to major in that. They have to major in doubling. That was one of the keys that I said to the game is that they got to major in double teaming Calais Campbell in the run game. Because if you try to block him one on one, I don't look in between from guard to guard. I don't see the guy that's he's going to be able to handle Calais Campbell one on one in the run game or the pass game. They don't have that guy. They have guys that are young, solid at best. They don't have guys that are elite in those spots. So you kick to expect those guys to major in moving the ball, running against this defense, and you don't do it that way, it's not going to work. They have to be creative with how they get to those runs, but they do need to run the football against the Baltimore Ravens. Every team has a blueprint to be beat because nobody goes undefeated. And you heard Bill O'Brien talk about it earlier this week. You heard Anthony Weaver talk about it this week, going back and looking at those Tennessee Titan games. Listen, the Tennessee Titans ran the football religiously against the Ravens, and they struggled. That's what you got to do. And so if you can get ahead of them, now you're forcing Lamar Jackson to play from behind, and he's one of those type of guys that I think when he gets behind, he puts too much pressure on himself, and he tries to make plays that aren't necessarily there, and that's how you get the turnovers. And so that's what the Texans have to do.
All right, that's the interior. Yeah. But there's also the edge with the Baltimore Ravens. Matthew Judon, probably one of the most underrated players in the league, in my opinion. Here's Matthew Judon, the edge guy for the Ravens, talking about the weapons that he's facing with the Houston Texans.
Well, I seen the Texans out there. I seen how they want to run their offense, the stuff that they're looking for. They have a great quarterback, one of the best in the NFL. He has a good line. He has a good running back. He has playmaking wide receivers. We can't sleep on them. We got to go out there and be us, be who we are. We cannot think that they can't make plays because they definitely can.
All right, so on the inside, you mentioned Calais Campbell getting double-teamed. Matthew Judon last year against the Texans, 7 tackles, 2 sacks, and a forced fumble. How do you stop? You've talked about stopping Calais Campbell, and you got to double him. What about Judon? Is this a matter of tight ends blocking well? Are you going to have to bring a running back over and help out with him? How do you stop Judon with Calais Campbell getting all that attention, Smitty?
Run the ball at him. I mean, anytime you got a good pass rusher, you run the ball at them. You run the ball at them. If you're running the ball at them and you're focusing their attention on stopping the run, they're not getting sacks on the quarterback. If you're utilizing Deshaun Watson's feet in the run game and during the RPO game, now you eliminate his ability to get after the quarterback. That's the answer for any pass rusher you're going against Frank Clark, whoever you put on the schedule going forward. When they have to go against Yannick Ndakwe and Daniel Hunter, they have a built-in system that is there for them that will help them with that part of their game. If you just drop back Deshaun Watson 40 times in the game to throw passes, they are going to struggle because they don't have the offensive line. And most offensive lines would struggle if you have to play that brand of ball against elite players. Now, Judon's not an elite pass rusher, but he can get after the quarterback.
9.5 sacks last year. He's all right.
He's pretty good.
He's good against the Texans last year.
He's damn good against the Texans, but, I mean, everybody on the Ravens team was good against the Texans last year. I think the score was 41-7 or whatever it was.
That's correct.
I mean, that's how you neutralize guys like that. Run the ball right at them and then utilize RPOs, utilize the feet of the quarterback running the ball downhill. It forces them to freeze. It forces them to try to figure out what's going on. If you're trying to figure things out, you're not going forward and making plays.
Wade Smith, Landry Locker here on a Football Friday presented by Carbach and the greatness that is Hopadillo. Let's get into something that one of Bill O'Brien's guys had to say yesterday. Probably the most discouraging thing I've heard a Texan say in 2020, which is saying a lot. We'll hear it next.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
Bill O'Brien put himself out there when he traded DeAndre Hopkins. And part of trading DeAndre Hopkins was the sales pitch that the receiving core was going to be deeper from top to bottom. Randall Cobb was one of the signings B.O.B. made that raised a lot of eyebrows. $18 million guaranteed. a guy who only made $5 million last year for the Dallas Cowboys. He's supposed to be one of those leaders, one of those right kind of guys. But when he said what he said yesterday, Wade Smith, I lost sleep, and it made me absolutely sick. Here is Randall Cobb talking about what went wrong in Kansas City.
You know, one thing personally I looked at whenever I watched film is it looked like I was playing a preseason game. Felt like I wasn't covering the ball very well. So, you know, one thing that I focused on practice this week was if the ball didn't come to me, you know, taking steps towards the ball carrier, being able to cover the ball in case there's a fumble, being in position to recover it, making sure that we're in football condition ready for the season.
I'm trying to figure out because I'm going to try to give somebody the benefit of the doubt, especially somebody that's new, especially somebody that's a veteran. But the more you listen to the comments, it's kind of like, bro, what are you talking about? When you hear him say he's going to run to the ball.
That's effort. That's,
you know, I mean, it's effort. But I think what he's trying to say is going above and beyond so he can get himself into football shape, into game shape. In other words, like, you normally wouldn't run to the ball to make sure that the running back doesn't fumble on every play. That's not something that is required. That's something that's above and beyond. And I guess he's saying he's going to do that in order to get himself into game shape, because when he looked at the film, he looked like he was moving in slow motion.
Okay.
That's the only – because – I mean, when you hear it, it sounds terrible. I mean,
especially from him.
I mean, and you can't blame him for what he got paid, though, Landry. Listen, if somebody tells you they're going to pay you 200 racks to go to a different market, you're going to take that money.
No, but I can't blame him. I can't blame him because it impacts the rest of the roster. And I know who made the decision. I know who made the decision, Smitty.
You can't blame him.
But Wade.
He doesn't cut the checks. You got to blame.
I don't expect much from Randall Cobb on the field. Okay,
I think I do. I don't. I think he's a solid football player.
I think Kiki's better. I think Kiki's better at this point. I think if Bill O'Brien could work with Kiki QT, I think Kiki QT is better than Randall Cobb. But this is the problem. This is why I can blame him, because when a coach puts his nuts on the table for you, like Bill O'Brien did for Randall Cobb, and let DeAndre Hopkins go, and brought in a guy that nobody in the entire country thought was worth the money that you brought him in for, and you're not ready to go, and you're not in football shape, and you're not finishing out plays, and you're not running to the rock, I can hold that against you. If Randall Cobb goes out there and doesn't reach my expectations, that's fine, but I can't vibe with that.
But see, listen, Randall Cobb doesn't know that there's that sentiment out there unless he's paying attention to Twitter. Like David Johnson, he knows that because of that trade, dude, everyone said, that's what I'm saying.
18 million. He had to have been shocked.
No.
He had to have been shocked.
No, come on, Landry. So if somebody offers you X amount of dollars, you're going to say, I don't deserve
it. I'm not saying don't take it, but there's no way that he thought with what the receiver market was that he was going to get $18 million guaranteed.
Bro.
They let him walk in Green Bay where they haven't had receivers.
You're talking about two different things. You can't blame him for what he got paid. You can blame the situation and the decision making to get him what he got paid, and the decisions they made to let certain people go as opposed to keeping them, you can blame that, but you can't blame Randall Cobb for that. What you got to blame Randall Cobb for is, hey, are you getting open or not? If you're not getting open, then I have a problem with you because you're not doing your job.
I need the effort.
I need the effort from a veteran.
I need that.
You know what I got to do? I would have to go back and look at the tape of him and say, he looks like he's not moving very fast. He told you that he was going to try to run after the ball, even though I didn't get it, to make sure that if there's a fumble, so that I can get myself in better condition. That's what he said. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that is not quite the same thing. Like, you got to understand, they went from 0 to 100. Okay. And so you went from 0 to 100, and – it's no excuse because the Kansas City Chiefs went from
zero. Like it.
No, it's not, though. But I'm just telling you, I'm giving you reasons. I'm not giving you excuses, because an excuse tells you you don't get it held against you for it, or you're not held accountable for it. I'm just telling you why things happen. You understand? Like, people are human beings. Sometimes some people can adapt to situations better than others. That's why some players are elite, and that's why some players are good. That's why some players are bad, because they can't adapt to situations as good as others. I'm telling you why this happened, but I'm not giving you an excuse for it. If it continues, People lose jobs. That's why I love the NFL. If you continue to do bad, you'll lose your job. In every walk of life, you can't say that. That's not the truth. There's, you know, the whole like nepotism. That's not the case in a lot of different walks of life.
Now.
I'm just telling you. And that's why I love the NFL from that respect, because if you don't do your job for a extended period of time, your ass going to be gone, at least from the player's perspective. Now, people are probably listening, well, there's certain coaches don't. That's something different. But from the player's perspective, and we're talking about a player right now, Randall Cobb, if he doesn't perform, they will let him go. And that, and so,
well, they can, because he's guaranteed $6 million next year,
too.
No,
they can. They can.
He's guaranteed $6 million next year, too.
Listen, the Texans aren't paying anybody that they would have been. They paid for Clowney to go away. They paid for him to go away.
Who wants Randall Cobb at that price?
But that's not my point. My point is that the team will be willing to take a hit if they deem it's necessary to move on from somebody. And Randall Cobb, if he wants to keep his job, he knows he's got to be better. And so that's what I'm saying from his perspective. If he doesn't improve, he's going to get gone.
Okay, we'll see. 8166 on the text line says, if my boss gives me a raise, that comes with added responsibility / expectations. 3303 says, Landry, if Bill O'Brien offered you $18 million to play receiver, you'd get out there and suck too. Yeah, no kidding. It's not that he took the money. Randall Cobb should have sprinted to Houston and signed that contract. Like 100%. It's not that
his
he
agent
took the money.
Beast.
Yeah, his agent did his thing. I'm just saying, when I hear stuff like that and stuff like this from Randall Cobb, it's discouraging, because effort to me and being ready to go from a guy that Bill O'Brien believed in that much, that's been in the league this long, is inexcusable. But here's more excuses from Randall Cobb.
We were in a pandemic. we missed a lot of time that we didn't really have that opportunity to work together. So it'll be about getting better each week. We're one of the few teams that had a lot of changes in the offseason offensively, you know, bringing in guys like Cooks, myself, and David Johnson. So, you know, in a passing game, it takes a lot to build that chemistry and that trust. And, you know, it'll come. It's a matter of when. And, you know, obviously we got to have that urgency moving forward.
So he basically just said, you know, we're a little behind everybody else because of all the moves that we made. Although Bill O'Brien has said that it's a veteran year. And the veteran is basically acting like this is like some sort of process, which I understand to a certain point.
The veterans are new, though, bro.
But
the,
come on.
The veterans are new. You're playing against two teams back-to-back the first 2 weeks that are running. And I'm going to keep going back to this. The Kansas City Chiefs know who they are. They know each and every week we're going to do these things. And we're going to put people in these positions. And the Baltimore Ravens are the same way. So when you bring a veteran in there, they're just, oh, this is the system. This is what we do. All right, cool. Let's pick it up and go. It's not the same way here. So though he's like, I would not expect Randall Cobb to be this honest or this unveiling or lifting up the curtain.
Well, I mean, you could see it. You could see he was awful.
You saw that he didn't get targets. You don't see that he was awful. That he was awful. How do you see that? I mean, I don't understand what you're saying.
I mean, you watched the game. You saw Randall Cobb. Wasn't offense, getting off the line. He wasn't open. He wasn't finishing plays. He just said that himself. You saw he was bad. Seth did a film breakdown of it, and Randall Cobb was not getting off the line.
Well, Randall Cobb was not my – that's not my spot shadow guy. You know what I mean? I didn't look at him to see what he did or didn't do. But I will tell you
this. He
didn't
miss much.
I know he didn't get the ball. But what I'm saying is this. When he says that, he's telling you what they really think and how they really feel. But we've been saying this for years. We've been saying this for years. So why is there a surprise? We've been saying this for years.
It's surprising. It's surprising to hear him say this.
Exactly. I bet you won't hear it going forward, because they're going to be like, wait, what you doing? You telling them?
I mean, I just thought he was the right kind of guy, like smart, tough, dependable type. I didn't think I had to worry about this.
That doesn't take away from the fact, is he a hard worker? That doesn't take away from the fact, is he smart? This is the most complicated offense. Chris Myers, one of the smartest guys I ever played with, right? When he was the center for this offense, he said it's complicated as hell. Every person that comes into it says that's what it is. So to expect it to be on point week one,
man,
it's foolhardy. You can't expect that to be the case.
All right, well,
it takes time.
If not week one,
then
when?
And that's not an excuse. That's the reality of the situation.
Here's Brandon Scott. He asked the question, because apparently we're just buckling up for a long-ass process, according to Randall Cobb. Brandon Scott of SportsRadio610.com asked a question that I thought needed to be asked, and props to him for asking it.
So how do you get, how much better can you get in a week is, I guess, is the question. How much better can you get in a week? I know you said you got to do it week to week. What are some of the things that you can, I guess, tackle from week one to week two that, you know, you necessarily can't do it, do everything all at once?
I think the urgency offensively, as far as us understanding the importance of every single drive. I think we only had 8 drives in a game. Well, we got to make sure that we stay on the field and have longer drives and continue to move the chains. And that comes pretty much down to staying ahead of the sticks, finding a way to stay on the field.
Okay. Urgency. I guess that's the key.
Bro, I got to address this text line because some people hear what they want to hear. This is what the texter says, 036. Wade sounds like he's looking for a job with the Texans. I'm literally telling you that their game plan philosophy does not work. If I'm trying to get a job there, which I actually do have because I am a legend, I'm an ambassador. If I'm telling you that, I'm telling you that that's not something that you would say. Like, listen to what I'm telling you. You're going to get what you're going to get because of the philosophy of the way things are done there. And what Randall Cobb is telling you, he's pulling back the curtain of this is what it is. This is why this is happening. That's not an excuse. This is the reality of the situation. So you can take that for what it is. Listen to what I'm telling you. There has not been a team besides the New England Patriots to do it this way and win a Super Bowl. Everybody in this city wants the team to win a Super Bowl. But it's not going to be that way if they do not change that philosophy, because I've yet to seen somebody else do it that way and win big, period. I asked earlier in the show, somebody texted me, somebody called me, something, because I've never seen it. It doesn't work that way to that level, period. So 036, kick rocks, bro, like you're not paying attention. I know who I am. I know what I do. I know what I see. I don't agree with the way things are done there. It's good enough to keep you in the running, but it's not good enough to win you a championship, period. And so until they change that, you hope that it changed by bringing in Tim Kelly, and maybe their things are going to change. You hope that, you know what, they're going to utilize Deshaun Watson's feet and they're going to progress in that manner. But to expect it to be different, it just it's foolhardy. I'm sitting here telling you that. If you work with the organization, you're not going to say that. So if you're hearing what you want to hear, you're hearing what you want to hear. But that's not the truth of the matter. Like, pay attention to what I'm telling you, because I'm trying to give you knowledge. I have no reason to sell you a bill of anything. I'm just telling you what I see based off of what I know and what I've experienced for years and years playing and doing this sport at a very, very high level. Pay attention.
Wade Smith, Landry Locker here on a Football Friday. Let's fire up a think tank, 713-572-4610. Let's talk about those changes. What needs to change for the Texans to do what Bill O'Brien has quite frankly done many times, get a W when you don't see it coming.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610, presented by Carbox Hopadillo IPA. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
All right, Sean. Load it up. Load it up, 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. It is going to be a Think Tank Football Friday edition presented by the greatness that is Hopadillo, courtesy of Carbock. Run the ball, stop the run. I think that it's as simple as that for the Texans on Sunday. Run the ball, stop the run. Sometimes it's easier said than done, but when it comes to those two things, Smitty, and for John Lopez, which one do you think you're most optimistic about the Texans being able to do?
I'm more optimistic on them being able to run the ball as opposed to stopping the run. I think they're going to be better in their performance as far as like their technique than they did against the Kansas City Chiefs. But the running game for the Ravens is much better than the Chiefs. Like, you got a quarterback that is better than a lot of running backs in this league, and then you have multiple running backs that can go. You got Dobbins, you got Edwards, and of course you got Mark Ingram. So to be able to, when you look at it effectively, when the end of the day is done and the stats come out, it might look very similar to what you saw against the Chiefs, but the Texans defense could actually be doing a better job. It's just because the Ravens are better at what they do as far as running the ball than the Kansas City Chiefs are.
Let's hear from Laramie Tunsil, the highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL. A very important part of what the Texans are going to have to do Sunday in order to pull off this upset at 325 at NRG. Here's Laramie Tunsil. We'll hear from him, and then we will get the think tank fired up.
You see the Ravens, and they like to blitz a lot. They had the most blitzes of any team since 2011. What are some things?
2008.
2008. Okay. Thank you.
2008.
See from them in terms of how do they try to create pressure?
They're a good team. They're a good defense. They've been like that since 2008, and we just got to do one thing, man. That's just execute our game plan, and let's see the results at the end of the game.
And in particular, Matt Judon and Calais Campbell, just what do you think of those two guys in particular? Just kind of your little mini report on them.
Great players. You know, Calais Campbell been in the league for a long time. He's a crafty vet. This is 13th year, I believe, and, you know, he's a Pro Bowl guy, so we got to, you know, we got to be on our A game. And same with Judon. You know, he's been in the league for a while, so he was just at the Pro Bowl last year. So two good players. The whole defense is actually a great defense, great, a lot of great players. Derek Wolfe, Calais Campbell, Judon, you know, Brandon Williams, a lot of good. They got the rookie at the linebacker, so it's a lot of good players, man. Like I said, we just got to execute our game plan and see the results at the end of the game. That's all we can do.
What's up, Larry? Hey, how's it going?
My guy, what up, man?
I'm wondering, there's a lot of talk about, like, how preseason games, lack of them affect the game. I'm wondering specifically, how do you think the not having those opportunities affected you guys or just affected offensive line play in general in week one if you watched any other games?
I mean, I get that question a lot. Not having a preseason game, I really don't think it mattered as much because we had training camp, but that's just my opinion. But, man, we just got to come out there and just execute the game plan. I don't know. I don't think the preseason really affects us as much. We just got to come out there with a better attitude.
Hey, when you look at the running game and what David did in the first game, how encouraged were you by the way he ran the ball? And you guys obviously practiced with him, so probably it wasn't surprising to you to see that from him. But just what did you think of David's contributions?
Yeah, it wasn't surprising at all. I was actually excited just to see him back out there on the field. And you know, David running like he got a chip on his shoulder. And he does, and he got a lot of things to prove. And, you know, I respect him as a player and as a teammate and definitely as a person.
Larry, what do you see from Titus Howard? I don't know if you've been asked this question. I got here a little bit late, but what do you see in him, you know, playing on the other side? And, you know, he didn't get a chance to play his full year on last year, so he's still coming to his own.
He's a dog. Like, he still have a lot to develop. This is only his second year, but in my opinion, I see him every day. I think he's going to be a great player. He's a dog. He put everything on the line every day.
Hey, Laramie, real quick, man. What's the biggest key for you guys in the snap count and avoiding the pre-snap penalties? What's the thing that y'all key in on to avoid
them? That's a funny question. Man, we just got to do our job. We just got to lock in and do our job.
I've never blocked on the offensive line, so I understand.
You good, man. We just got to lock in and get it done. And they put that shit on me. You know that? Oh, my fault. They put that false start on me. Next.
Damn, B. Scott. I didn't think it was that funny of a question. I thought it was fair. They did call that on him, and he didn't even move.
So this is – no, he moved, but he moved after somebody else moved.
Dude,
but
wait. This is the thing. Does Nick Martin know when to snap the ball? I'm serious. I'm being serious. Help me. Help me. You're an offensive lineman. Help me. It seems like there's four guys moving, and the ball's not. Help me, please.
Got a target on my back.
So on this particular play, it wasn't on Nick Martin. A lot of times it has been on Nick Martin, but on this particular play, it wasn't. On this particular play – they were doing a silent count, and the way they start their silent count is the right guard, which is Zach Fulton, reaches over and touches Nick Martin on the hip. Once he touches it on the hip, then Nick Martin's head comes up, he snaps the ball. It's in rhythm, right, because it's a silent count. Well, if you look at it on tape, Zach Fulton reaches out to touch Nick Martin's hip, but he doesn't touch it. He, like, half sticks his hand out there, right?
Are you kidding me?
So he kind of misses his hip. So Deshaun Watson
is his couldn't back, touch his
Deshaun,
hip?
He didn't touch his hip, so Deshaun Watson
block,
is back
he's
there.
He's supposed to block Chris Jones?
That too. but Deshaun is clapping his hands like, give me the ball, because he's already asked for it and he's expecting the ball. But Zach Fulton didn't make contact with Nick Martin's hip, so Nick Martin didn't know, oh, it's time for us to snap the ball. That's
crazy.
That whole play is just operation. That is, and And Laremy Tunsil, that's why he didn't answer the question. He just said, we just got to get it together. Because he can't answer that question, he can't say, man, Zach Fulton didn't touch his hip. And because he didn't touch his hip, Deshaun won the ball. He's clapping. We're ready to go. And that ball didn't get snapped. But that's what happened.
He's got a target on my back.
And so, and when he says he's got a target on his back, they called the penalty on Tunsil. But he wasn't the first person to move.
So you can't even touch someone's hip when you're supposed to, and you're supposed to block Chris Jones and now Calais Campbell 2 weeks into the year. That's right. That's basically what I'm taking away from that.
Hey, if you don't believe me, go look at the All 22.
No, I just believe you. I'm not questioning you.
I'm talking to the listeners because some listeners don't listen. You know what I mean? So I'm telling you, they think I'm explaining things. I'm explaining things.
Why are you so triggered, Wade? Why you got to call out listeners like that? Why are you being so? Why are you being so sensitive?
I'm going to call out listeners that don't listen because I'm here trying to explain to you what's going on. I'm trying to give you facts. That's all I do. What do I say at the end of the show? It's always real, fellas. I mean that. I wouldn't do this if I don't. I don't do this. Just because. I don't do this because I love to be able to educate and teach and have a good time while I do it. I don't carry anybody's water.
Inform I don't, and entertain.
No question about it. That is the key. That is the point. I do not carry people's water. I've never been a company man. So I'm not going to let you say that and me not address it because that's just me, right? So I'm telling you, that's what happened on that play. And so hopefully you can go back and check it out and look at it. And then you say, damn, he sure did miss his hip. They got to get that fixed.
713-572-4610 to get in. You hear the music. It is the world famous Think Tank here on Football Friday. Start your statement with, I think that. Don't ask us how we're doing because we're just lovely. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think that the Texans will lose by at least 3 touchdowns. Will only win 7 games this year. And Paul Gallant sucks.
Okay, there we go. Everybody like me. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think that Bill O'Brien needs to simplify the offense so that people will know where they're going, know what they're doing, like the rookies and the new veterans. And also, when he's talking about smart stuff, dependable, he also needs to say loyalty, because if you're not loyal and you're asking about a new contract, he's letting you go. Thanks.
Yeah, well.
Tough, smart, dependable guys.
You're on the Think Tank. Go. Go.
Hello?
Go.
I think the Texans should get rid of Bill O'Brien because his game plan sucked, and he got that booty chin for a reason because he's a straight-up ass.
No comment on that.
You're on the Think Tank. Go.
Yeah, I think the Rockets will hire a minority head coach only to have him replaced by a recycled white coach once the roster and assets have been restored.
Oh, wow. Now that is something nobody's talking about right there. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
Nobody's talking about guy.
Go. Choke.
Lie.
You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think the hips don't lie.
There's a lot of things that can be taken away from that.
They don't, though.
You're on the Think Tank. Go.
Yeah, can someone answer this for me? When they were interlocking their arms, the Chiefs and the Texans, cool, nobody had a mask on. But then Watson and the Mahomes turn around and they put a mask on to see the ref. What's up with that?
Now that's something nobody's talking about, too. I don't know.
Nobody's talking
thing.
About
that. I know
guy.
That the coaches got a sharply worded email that they needed to wear a mask. I don't really know why, when, where, how, as far as mask gate goes. I have no clue.
Yeah, I mean. Shoot, I coach youth football. We got to wear a mask. That's probably why my voice sounds like it is now, because you coach with a mask on. It kind of takes it out of you a little bit. But it's one of those deals where you, hey, if that's the rules that you got to go by in order to be able to play, you got to do it. But sometimes this stuff doesn't make sense. It's trying to mitigate risk. That's all I can think. You're just trying to mitigate risk.
You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think Daniel House should be banned for life. And by the way, women are deceiving. I dated a thick woman. She didn't know how to cook. I dated a skinny woman. She wanted to avoid the buffets. What the heck? And by the way, the goulash is going to be terrible this week. Bye.
The goulash.
That's a legit listener right there. He's been listening.
Yeah.
He's been listening.
Shout out to the OG for the goulash and Smitty for being the originator of it. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
Yeah, Tex Pistol here. I think that if you can enjoy movies without reading or knowing celebrity gossip, you can probably watch sports without the supposed noise you don't want to hear and or pledging an allegiance to the left or right. Maybe it is you who should shut up and just be a fan.
Okay, there you go. Amen. You're on the Think Tank. Go. I think you need to get a new cell phone. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think that I need to hear Wade tell me how horrible the offensive line coaching staff is.
That's tough.
What's up with Mike Devlin, really?
Hey, man, listen. Mike Devlin has done some good things, but he's had a lot of performances out there where you say, well, that's just bad ball.
My question is, what good things?
Oh, Max Sharpen is a good young football player. He helps with that. Titus Howard has shown some good signs. Nick Martin has gotten better since he's started here. These are not the caliber of players that you say, damn, we got the best offensive line in the league. But he has shown that he's got some young guys that have improved over time. So you got to give him credit for that. But overall, you got to understand this discussion is not, are the Texans good enough to go 10-6? Is, are the Texans good enough to win a championship? That's what most fans that you hear on this show and a lot of shows on the station care about. And so, you know, Mike Devlin is not Dante Scarnecki yet. I mean, it is what it is.
You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think the Texans need to fire Bill O'Brien and hire a new head coach. And that new head coach needs to make Clint Sterner the new offensive coordinator.
You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think we should be asking, what is a DeAndre Carter?
Yeah, I don't know. We've been asking what a Eric Murray is.
Who?
DeAndre Carter might be the luckiest guy in the world.
But see, that's why he's not getting the vitriol, because he's getting paid probably like $800,000. If he was getting paid $6 million, he'd have the same problem that you have with Murray and that you have with Cobb. But those guys don't determine who gets paid what.
You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think Landry needs a co-host for that post-game show. Nick M is chomping at the bit. Hit me up, Landlocked.
Shout out to my man Nick, 713-572-4610, Football Friday, Landry Locker, Wade Smith, presented by the greatness of Hoppadillo by Carbach. I love that green, and I think that green and brown can is the best beer can going too, by the way. I think it's the best.
Is that right?
Yeah, it's the best.
Okay, who's second best?
Well, it's another Carbach can. It's another Carbach can.
Who's second best?
Crawford Bach, which is also a Carbach can. Is up there.
Okay, now I'm thirsty, Biggie.
Got the Astros right there. What is Wade Smith's drink of choice?
Oh, man, old fashioned, bro. The Maker's old fashioned.
That's really?
Yeah, no question.
With the big ass ice cube?
Yes, sir. If it doesn't have a big ice cube, then it's not legit. We're gonna spit some game real quick, some knowledge. If somebody gives you an old fashioned and they have crushed ice in it, it's gonna be terrible. Send it back or just say, I want to order something else. You know you're legit. Maker of old fashions, Manhattans, cocktails in general, if you got the big cube or the big solid, sometimes they have a sphere, they have different things like that, whatever it is. But if it got crushed ice in it, it's going to be whack.
You're a send back the drink guy?
No, I'm just giving people.
No, but are you a guy that sends back the drink?
No, I've never done it myself, no. But I'm telling you to do that if you go somewhere and that happens. I'm not going to order a drink from someplace that I know they're going to give me crushed ice. I just not. I'm be like, nah, I'm cool. You got to get a beer or something from a place like that.
You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think Bill O'Brien needs to look at last night's tape and let Deshaun Watson throw the ball 60-plus times or fumble it at the goal line whenever we're losing, not in the fourth quarter, not keep handing the ball off.
Man, he wants to fumble on the one. That's a little crazy. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
What'd he do?
Money Mike, baby.
It's always real, Wade. Hey, the only STDs that Texans have is sexually transmitted diseases. Out.
I thought he was going to come up with something like clever, but he's like, nah, I'm just straight forward with it.
Straight to the point.
I got you.
No wisdom Mike. Today from Money Mike. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
Chris Myers guy here. Hey, Landry, is there any way you could do something on Facebook where we can donate? And then the Lupos can send some flowers to Lopez's mom's funeral?
Yeah, actually, Sam, we got some people looking at that right now. Sam Raj Samuel on Facebook. Sam Raj Samuel is actually putting something like that together.
Okay. All right, cool.
All right, appreciate you, man. 713-572-4610. You're on the Think Tank. Go.
I think Cal McNair is one of the worst owners of an NFL team that there ever was.
I want to give him some time.
Again, I want to give him some
time. I want to give him some time and see how he handles this situation, because he's relatively new. So before I call Kyle McNair a bad owner or even a good owner, I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt. This is his first year, really, his first full year to really 100% be in charge. And he is letting Bill O'Brien make his bed. Now, if Bill O'Brien, if this continues and then Cal doesn't do anything, that's there. But I think it's unfair to say whether he's a good owner or whether he's a bad owner.
I would tell you this. The fact that everything is now out in the open, he's been declared the GM. He's put Bill O'Brien in a situation to where it's like, hey, if you succeed, you're going to get the credit. If you fail, you're going to get the blame. And so I think what would be a determining factor, is he a good owner or not, is if things do go wrong, if he makes the decision to say we got to move on, then you can say, all right, that's a passing grade.
You're on the think tank. Go.
I think people need to learn how to use their blinkers on the freeway.
No lie.
Completely agree.
It ain't you. We know you. We know you know where you're going. You got to let the people around you know where you're going. You're on the think tank. Go. Go. Choke, man. Randall Cobb. You're on the think tank. Go.
I think the Texans get blown out this weekend and, you know, become the laughing stock of the NFL. You know,
ouch, that's harsh. You're on the think tank. Go.
Yo, fellas. I think the Texans got to round up their little ponies, get back on their little ponies, and go back home, because these dirty birds going to put a whooping on them boys.
Man, get off my radio.
You're on the think tank. Go. Go.
I think Houston Cougars put it on Baylor this weekend, 42-10.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
That'd be nice.
Nobody's talking about guys.
You're on the think tank. Go.
I think the Texans should fire Bill O'Brien and bring back Gary Kubiak.
Okay. Now, that's definitely nobody's talking about. You're on the think tank. Go.
Last night at dinner, my fortune cookie said every exit is also an entrance. And long story short, my wife said no.
All right.
We
got
to
end it.
You got to end it there, dog.
My goodness. Let's go around the NFL. A lot going on in week two in the league. Started last night in Cleveland. Should the Texans be scared of the Cleveland Browns? And let's localize every matchup next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.